The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
The Lord be with
you. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed on the third day and raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels and his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, good morning. I want to start with this gospel here, and just that very last line here, when our Lord says, the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and he will repay all according to their conduct. And that's very important, what he's saying there, because he's not saying he will repay everyone according to the faith that is within their hearts. He's not saying he will repay each person according to what they really believe or who they want to be. He says he will repay people according to their conduct, their deeds, what they actually do. And our Lord says in this gospel, he's trying to explain to his disciples in this gospel that that conduct, that Christian life that is worthy of reward, is a life of service. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be a good servant. And Christ himself gives us the best example. He came to suffer and die for us. And that's why it says in the beginning, you know, it says he began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly. This is the end of his public ministry. He's on his way to Jerusalem, which, of course, is the place where he would eventually celebrate his Last Supper and suffer and die for our sins. And Peter kind of reacts to this and says, you're not going to do that. You know, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're not going to suffer and die for our sins. And he rebukes Peter. He calls him Satan. He says, get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking as God thinks, but as human beings do. And what he's getting at here is that, again, this same notion of service, that the point of this life here and now is to one day get to heaven with our Lord for all of eternity. And the way that's going to happen, as the Lord says at the end, is by our conduct, by our service. Are we willing to serve others as Christ did? The point of this life is not to hold on to the things of this life as much and as long as possible. And that's kind of what society tells us nowadays. That's why, you know, they're constantly advertising things that will help you, you know, look younger and stay thinner and reverse the effects of aging. And not that these things are bad in and of themselves, they're not, but there's something going on there that suggests to us that this is all there is. And you know what? If this life is all there is, then it makes perfect sense that we would do those things. It makes perfect sense that if this is all there is, then yeah, I'm going to want to live forever. I'm going to want to have the nicest, the best, the newest, the brightest, the biggest. I'm going to want to have all of those here and now, because after all, if this life here on earth is all there is, and we're not thinking about a life to come, then it makes perfect sense that we would want to hold on to these things as much as possible. And that's what our Lord gets at right after he calls Peter Satan, and he says, you're not thinking as God thinks, but as human beings do. He defines that service, that conduct, that Christian life, and he says, whoever wishes to save his life, you know, save your life by holding on to all of these different things, by living just in the here and now, whoever wishes to save his life will actually end up losing it. That's what our Lord says. He says, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But then he goes on, he says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will wind up actually saving it. So he's saying if you want to ultimately save your soul, not just your body, not just this life here, but if you want to one day get to heaven with our Lord for all of eternity, which of course is the goal of the human life, you need to lose your life for Christ's sake. You can't be holding on to the things of this world. And it's a temptation for all of us that we can fall into, again, because society is so demanding of this is what you need to be to live in this life, to hold on to all of these things. But that's what our Lord is saying, is that if you try to live that way that society tells us to, if you try to save your life here and now, you will ultimately lose your life. And this ties in very well with the first and the second reading, and I'll just wrap up with this, because in that second reading that we heard from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, this is exactly what St. Paul says. He says, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, to spend your life here and now in service for Christ, for others. And then he goes on and he says, do not conform yourselves to this age that tells you that this is all there is, and therefore hold on to these things as much as possible. He says, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. You know, he's saying, wake up and recognize that this life is not all there is, that there is this life to come, and that we can't be holding on to the things of this life, and we need to be looking ahead to the life to come. We need to be living this life of Christian service. And then finally, in that first reading we heard from the prophecy of Jeremiah, it's kind of weird what's going on here, because Jeremiah was called at a very young age to be a prophet. And the word prophet does not actually mean what we sometimes think it means. Sometimes when we hear the word prophet, we think about someone who predicts the future. When we think of prophecy, that's what we think of, as someone who predicts the future. But when you look at the etymology of the word prophet, it doesn't mean someone who foretells the future, but rather someone who forthtells, who speaks on behalf of another. And so God chose Jeremiah at a very young age, in fact, to speak on his behalf. Not to predict the future, not to say this bad thing is going to happen or that bad thing is going to happen. That's perhaps part of prophecy, to say if you don't reform your ways, these kinds of things will happen. But that's what God called Jeremiah to do, to be a prophet, to foretell, to tell people you need to stop doing this and you need to start doing that. Oh, and by the way, if you don't, these bad things are going to happen. And what Jeremiah is complaining about here in this first reading, he says, you duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. All the day I am an object of laughter and everyone mocks me. He's going on and he's complaining to God, and he's basically saying, because you called me to be a prophet, because you called me to call people out on their sinfulness and to challenge them and to say, stop doing this, start doing that, because you called me to do this, people hate me. People hate me and they make fun of me because you have called me to do this. And I think we can relate to this ourselves sometimes. I know that as a priest, I've had that experience, and I'm sure that you as lay Catholics have had that experience when you try standing up for the truth. A lot of people don't want to hear it, and a lot of people will make fun of you and laugh at you and mock you. And he goes on, Jeremiah goes on, he says, whenever I speak, violence and outrage is my message. The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach. He's, again, complaining and complaining. And then he says, sometimes I think to myself, I will not mention him. I will speak of his name no more. He's saying, sometimes I wonder in the back of my head if I could just stop being a prophet, because that way, at least on a human level, I wouldn't be made fun of anymore. It'd be much easier to go through this life not standing up for the right thing. It'd be much easier to do that. He says, but when I do that, it becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. What he's saying is, I have to speak out. You have given me this calling, and despite the fact that it brings me so much pain and suffering in this world, I know, I feel as though I have to speak out, that I can't hold it in, that this is his calling. This is our calling as well. So I encourage all of us, myself included, to not grow weary in the Christian life. And yeah, it is a hard life, and we are going to be made fun of and mocked and face all sorts of persecutions because we do speak out, because we do call people to conversion. But that's what the Christian life is about. That's what our Lord did. That's what he called not just his apostles, but all of us to do, to not hold on to the things of this life, to not be so concerned with what other people think about you, to not be so concerned with the things of this world and having the newest, the best, the biggest, the brightest, looking the youngest, holding on to this life as if this were the only life to live. He says, don't be concerned with that. The Lord God will repay us according to our conduct, according to our service. So let's pray for that same zeal that St. Paul had, that Jeremiah had, that we too may live the good Christian life and one day enjoy all of eternity with God as well.